Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the festival of Holy Trinity comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." In the name of Jesus. You do realize that this is being fulfilled today, don't you? I mean, right here in front of your eyes, the great commission of Jesus is being worked out. In your midst, the making of disciples is at hand. I know it's not quite as flashy as we would picture the great commission to look. And it doesn't have the same sort of flair as that first Pentecost when the apostles were babbling all around Jerusalem in tongues of every kind, proclaiming the mighty workings of God to people in their very own languages so that they might know that Jesus is for them. But although it isn't quite as spectacular, at least not in a miraculous sense, well, now that I think of it, I might have to rephrase that. Because what we are seeing right now in our midst is a bit of a miracle. And no, I'm not making fun of our catechumens. I'm not saying that it's a miracle that they passed their examination yesterday. These three young ladies know their stuff. They know their catechism. Maybe better than some of you, probably better than some of you. They know their faith. And yes, some of them showed up yesterday morning a little bit nervous, but not me. I knew that they knew what they needed to know. And so congregation, know for certain that these six youth that will in a short time publicly confess their faith know exactly what they are saying and know exactly what they are confessing. And know that's not a miracle. So when I say that this might be some sort of miracle that rivals the likes of Pentecost, I'm not disparaging our catechumens. What I'm saying is we're living in a time, and such a time as this and place, where we might actually be more likely to see men miraculously speaking in languages that they've never spoken of before we might see many parents, mothers and fathers, some grandmothers too, who saw it good and right and salutary. Who saw it as vitally important to the eternal well-being of their child to make sure that they were in church on Sunday. To make the sacrifice of having them stay that extra hour after service for catechesis. To go through the catechism with them, signing off with all their memory work, discussing the sermons with them. Realizing that this life of faith is more than just a one-day thing. But it's an ongoing, continual life of instruction and learning, receiving the gifts that our Lord has in store for them, for these six, and word and sacrament. Times change. Society goes through ebbs and flows, where the things of the church are sometimes seen as important and treated as such. And then other times, when society sees that the things of the church is silly and superstitious at best, and downright deceitful, and maybe even hurtful at worst. And I don't think that I'm the only one who would say that in a 2023 America, the latter is becoming increasingly more prominent. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. There will always be things that get in the way of the things of the church. Some are seemingly benign, while others are in outright opposition to the church. And so the temptation to let your children slip through the cracks and not teach them the faith, that's a real temptation. Sports and vacation, relaxation, sleeping in, yard work, a day on the slopes or a day at the lake, they're all good and wonderful things. They're gifts, too, from our Lord. And yet you deemed it good to not allow those things to take precedent. You've not made idols of the created things that stand in contrast above the Creator of all things. That's why I want to take a minute to commend all the parents, grandmothers too, of all our catechumens, you've done what has been given to you to do. You fulfilled the most important job that you have. You've taught your children about Jesus, and you've made sure that they know that, yes, Jesus is most assuredly for them. And there's a second miracle that's taken place. This one I think we might actually take for granted, although I don't believe that we should. The very fact that these six catechumens have faith in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing full well that what he accomplished for them on the cross is actually theirs, through no merit of their own, but purely by grace and mercy of God, that indeed is a miracle. In fact, it's actually a miracle that any of us have faith in this God of ours. You see, to have faith is a gift. It has to be. It can't be something that we've earned. It can't be something that we've studied really hard to get. It can't be something that we grasp by ourselves and make our own. We actually confess this every time that we speak the creed. It's in that third article. It's that last portion about the Holy Spirit. In summary, it's that we confess that I believe that I can't believe. It's easy to see the things placed in front of us, the things that we come across in our everyday lives, and have a certain level of understanding about them. Our Lord has, in fact, given us our reason and all of our senses. And so, to make sense of the world around us, that's something that does come natural. But a knowledge of the natural world around us can only get us so far, especially when we're talking about the things of God. At best, when we look at the world around us, we can know of a God. We can look out at creation and know that there is something, there has to be something, whatever you want to call it, bigger than us out there that's responsible for everything. We read about that in our Old Testament reading as we recounted creation. But even this knowledge is a knowledge that keeps God, the true God, in the dark. We can know of a God through our own reason and strength, but we can't know of the triune God. The triune God has to be revealed to us. The triune God has to be shown to us, not in the things of the outside world and creation, but in the things of the church. Because truth be told, living in this fallen world of ours, with all of its sin and death and destruction, leaves us with a very skewed understanding of God. Such a God, at best, again, can only be a big, bold, powerful God, but because of that, it has to be a God that we're terrified of. That's why it's so important, so wonderful, that you parents have brought your little ones here, all you parents, and certainly the six of whom are our treasured catechumens today, in order that they might know who the triune God really is and who he is for them, who he is for you. The important thing, or the most important thing, that our catechumens learned over the last 2 years is, in fact, quite simple. In churchly terms, we call it the chief article of the faith. It's the article on which all of the other articles are built. Without this article, the entire church would crumble to the ground. It would all be left in ruins and rubble. This article we call the article of justification. And that article says this, that men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, by their own merits or works, but they are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into God's favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who by his death has made satisfaction for our sins. This faith God counts for righteousness. In his sight. The forgiveness of sins is what our faith rests upon. The forgiveness of sins is what the church proclaims to poor, miserable sinners who are terrified of their sin. The forgiveness of sins is what God the Father sent God the Son to accomplish through his perfect life, through his perfect fulfillment of the law, through his subsequent death on the cross. The forgiveness of sins is what God the Holy Spirit proclaims into a world of dead to sin sinners, that they might receive in time and in space that which Jesus won on the cross. The forgiveness of sins is what we receive here in church when the word is read, when the absolution is proclaimed into our ears, when the waters of holy baptism are splashed upon our foreheads. Right, Teddy? When the body and blood of our Lord is placed upon our lips, poured down our throat. If our catechumens have learned nothing else over the last 2 years, I pray that they've learned this, that they are forgiven for the sake of Christ. That's why Christ sent out his apostles like he did in our gospel reading for today, in order that they might make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the triune name of God, that they might preach and teach everything in the scriptures, that they might establish congregations in each and every place so that the Lord's Supper can be celebrated on each and every Lord's Day. That's why this day of confirmation, it's not a day of graduation. In the Christian life, there is no such thing as graduation. Not until Christ comes again in his glory. Not until he puts a final end to this pain and misery of this fallen world. No, the catechumen knows that catechesis, that's teaching, and it's learning, and it's receiving the gifts of God. That's a lifelong endeavor. It's a lifelong gift. And our Lord makes it so because living in this fallen world with our fallen flesh, we are in continual and constant need of Christ and his cross. Catechumens, and parents too, don't make this the last Sunday that we get to see you in church. Jesus desperately wants to give himself to you next week and the week afterwards and for all the weeks to come until he brings you from this valley of the shadow of death. But of course, you all know this. This is what we've spent the last 2 years talking about and learning about and teaching about. In fact, this is what you six are going to do. You're going to stand up here and you're going to confess this in only a couple minutes before this whole congregation. You're about to confess before God and man that the faith that has been handed down from our Lord through the apostles is indeed your faith. And you've been gifted and given this faith by the Holy Spirit. And you intend to remain steadfast in this faith by the work of the Holy Spirit, continually receiving the gifts of the cross given out to you freely each and every single Sunday. And congregation, you have a role to play in this as well. After you hear the confession of these catechumens, you get to say a hearty amen. Lord, let this be so. And you get to rejoice with them, with their families, that they've received the faith that leads to eternal life. And you get to pray for them. And you get to sing with them. You get to kneel down next to them. You get to receive with them all of the gifts that our God hands out in his church. I suppose there are a few days more joyous for a congregation and a catechumen than today. So enough of my rambling. Let's get on with our Lord's gifts. In the name of Jesus.